Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Nathan East, hanging with the Teddy Bear on LOTL Radio, The Zone.
Welcome to the Zone of LOT Radio. And before we begin today's broadcast, I want to send out a very special thank you to Mr. Gerald Albright. Thank you so much, my man, for joining us. And remember, family, be sure to purchase his new CD, 30, available everywhere as we speak. But you know what? They say great things come to those who wait. It has been 4 years since we had the pleasure of having this very talented gentleman on the show. He had just released Live in Beverly Hills, and he has returned. New album, new movie, new television show. He is doing it all. I'm talking about the one and only Mr. T.C. Carson. So on behalf of the Teddy Bear and the Zone, it is my pleasure to welcome to LOTO Radio the super talented Mr. T.C. Carson. Brother, how have you been doing?
I'm well, man. Thank you for that intro. That was something else.
It's well deserved, man. It's been a long time, 4 years since an album.
Yeah,
and
been
now,
a minute, huh?
Yeah, it's been a
minute.
You know what? I'm excited about the movie, of course, Brick, incredible movie, and also the television show, but I'm even more excited and hyped about the new album. I want to start there with the album. The new album coming up, Living Large, Living Single, Living It. When will that be officially released so we can get our hands on it?
Well, we're hoping the end of March it'll be released, but the title's going to change.
It's going to
change. You know, things evolve and they morph into what they're supposed to be, right? So the title's going to change.
Man, I'm just glad you're back in the studio.
End of March.
Okay, I'm just glad you're back in the studio making music.
Oh man, it's gonna be a combination album, some live performance and then some studio recording. We did a live studio session last year, so we're gonna use part of that, and we're gonna go back in and do some actual studio stuff as well.
Because I was having a conversation with a cohort of mine, and I said, you know what? He has a new album coming out, and when you left us, man, Live in Beverly Hills was an incredible, incredible album. And I said, I'm just being truthful. I mean, it was an incredible album. I said, okay, then we got to wait. But, it's, you know, great things come to those who wait. So I'm just glad we're going to get some new music from you. The new movie, Brick, your character, Dr. Robert Weldon, and this is based around someone that has, of course, the person that you're dealing with, the other character in the show, Tracy Campbell, is bipolar, has a bipolar disorder. Can you tell the listeners out there about this new movie and how did it come about?
Well, they called and asked me to do the film. Alicia wanted me as this person. And so she called my agents and they sent me the script. And because of the subject matter, it was something I felt I really wanted to do. Hopefully it'll spark conversation about mental health in our community. You know, that's the whole purpose of the movie, is to really get us talking more about that for our young people. And, you know, just for everybody. I mean, everybody has somebody in their family that has some mental disability. You know, and we say, well, that's Uncle Willie, you know, Uncle Willie, a little so-and-so, or, you know,
right.
Auntie May, you know, she a little so-and-so, but nobody ever really gets them the help they're supposed to have, because we don't talk about it. But if we talk about it, maybe we can get the person the help they need. And our young people really need to be able to talk to somebody, because they have so many pressures today that they're dealing with.
You know, I wanted to ask you, and I want to go on this subject a little bit further. From your perspective, mm-hmm. why do you think mental health has always been somewhat a very quote-unquote taboo subject in the Black community?
I don't know, man. Maybe because it was embarrassing, made people feel like their family might be less than, so they didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want anybody to know about it. I don't know. Maybe there was just no information. You know, we didn't have the knowledge of what it was.
Because what I'm seeing now is like, quote unquote, every remedy, let's give a person a pill. Everything is a pill. Everything is a pill.
Oh, well, that's big. That's pharmacy. Yeah.
Yeah, let's medicate. Let's medicate the person. I'm like, wait a minute. There has to be something more to it than just, you know, prescribing someone some medication. How about just having a conversation and sitting down and seeing exactly what the person is going through internally to find out, and then that's how we solve the problem.
Exactly.
For you, one of the things I've always admired about you, man, is that your professionalism has always been there. And I wanted your opinion as far as what do you see? Do you feel more prominent roles being given now more to not just African Americans, but just as far as the ethnic background, just having more of an ethnic feel in the movie industry? Or do you still feel that they're just somewhat sedate and not willing to give, roles, prominent roles to great actors?
I think there's two things going on. There's a few things going on.
Okay.
I think we have to stop asking somebody else to tell our stories the way we want to see them. So if we want to see our stories a certain way, we have to produce our stories so we can see them the way we want to see them. Nobody is going to be able to produce and show us the way we want to be seen. They just can't do it. They don't look through that lens. So when you see more of us, usually you see us behind the camera. You see us producing it because we are telling our stories, and that's what you're seeing more of, not with just Black people, but with Asian people and with Latino people. They're telling their stories. They're making their films. And so you're starting to see more influx of different nationalities in movies. And Hollywood understands that that is money. So now they're starting to integrate that as well because it translates into dollars for them.
What I find so interesting, once every blue moon when I do have free time, I'll find myself turning to the Hallmark Channel. And I said, you know what? Mm-hmm. There are so many incredible actors out there could actually be featured on these different Hallmark shows. And I said, it's very few, if any, if I see as far as any ethnic, you know, actors or actresses
mm-hmm.
on the Hallmark
They're
Channel.
Telling their stories, man.
Right.
They're telling their stories. They're telling their stories. But we have companies like Swirl Films. Swirl Films does a lot of great movies for television and for video. You know, so we're slowly starting to do there's another company, I can't remember the name of it. There's a few companies, production companies that are doing great work. They're doing great work, and we're slowly starting to see it. Again, it's going to take a minute. And we have our channels now. We have channels that we have more control over, so we're able to push the content that we want to see. So it's getting better. It's getting better. But again, we have to stop asking somebody that has no vested interest in telling our stories, why are you not telling our stories? Let's stop asking them and tell our own stories.
This is true. This is absolutely true. And speaking of telling our own stories, the new television show, Last Call, incredibly funny.
Mm-hmm.
Much love and respect to Roger Bob by putting this together. The cast is incredible. Of course, Carl Payne, Breeley Evans, Michonne
mm-hmm.
Radcliffe, and also Erica Page. Now, how did that come to be? How did you get involved as far as being on the show?
That was a request again. Roger Bob called me. He called me and asked me. He called me several times. At first, I didn't really want to do it because they didn't have a script. And I don't usually sign to do anything until I can read it. You know, but Roger called me several times. He was quite insistent, and he said it was going to be okay. So I said, okay.
Well, man, I'm glad. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you decided to do it. You've been so versatile as an actor, and I know you're very picky on what characters you choose to play. The movie, Bricked, like you said, we touched upon very taboo subject, bipolar disorder. I've always seen you as a very strong character present. Every act, every role that you portray, even when you played Kyle, you've had those moments where you were just really thought provoking. Do you like playing? No, I know you're a versatile actor, but do you get more gratification playing those kind of roles, more serious roles, than a comedic role?
Well, I think they all take it. It all takes a different type of work. Comedy is hard. It takes a different type of work than dramatic stuff does. I like it all, man. That's the great thing about being an actor. You get a chance to do quite a range of characters if you want to. You know, you get a chance to experience a lot of different types of people. So I do enjoy comedy. I do enjoy serious stuff. I really want to do a villain. I haven't done a villain yet.
Really?
I'm looking to do somebody a little schmarmy.
A villain. Oh my goodness. That would definitely be a change of pace.
Let me be a villain. Let me be trying to take over the world or something like that, you know. On Black Lightning, something like that. Well, you know, I can't do Black Lightning. I already had me on Black Lightning.
Okay.
But you know, makeup is a thing, ain't it?
Right, absolutely. What do you find more challenging, doing stage work?
One more time.
Or I said, what do you find more challenging for you as far as an actor, doing stage work, or actually just getting in front of the camera in production as far as making a movie or a television show?
They're both challenging in different ways.
Okay,
that seems to be my standard answer to that. Theater is challenging because you have to do it eight shows a week. But the great thing about theater is you get a chance to tweak. You get a chance to – I cannot tell you how many times I've done a movie and get home that evening and go, oh, man, I wish I had done so-and-so. Oh, I didn't think about doing that like that. And you don't get another chance. But when you do theater – you get home and you think about that, you can go in the next day and you can implement that change. So it grows, and I like theater. I think theater is challenging because it is a place where you, in order to make it work, you have to let it grow. You can't be stagnant in it or else it'll fall. Film and television challenging because of the way the work is done. It's so compartmentalized. It's so broken up. And so as the actor, you have to be able to have the continuity in your head to know where you are emotionally in a particular time in the movie when you film that, because you may have to go back to that time. So you have to understand how to get back to that place. So it's challenging in that way.
Right. The vibe that I get from you, it's like as far as doing theater work, it gives you more room to stretch out as far as a character, more freedom to do what you, as far as improvisation. Would I be correct in that assessment? Or
not necessarily improvisation,
okay.
But
okay.
When you, it is about the intent of a line. You know, line can, you can change the intent of a line with just how you didn't change the inflection on it. And when you're acting with really good actors, they hear that and it'll change how they comment to you. So then it becomes a different conversation. Still the same conversation that the playwright was meant to have, but the nuances of that conversation have changed. Because nobody is, you're not the same every night. So every night you come into the theater, it's always going to be a little different. The question is, how much of that difference do you allow to create the magic? Some people, I've worked with actors, and some actors, they can't do that. They don't like it when you switch something for them. And that's, I don't switch lines on people. I would never do that.
Okay.
You know, sometimes inflection is different. Sometimes inflection is different. I mean the same thing, but, you know, are you listening to me? I do it sometimes just to see if the other actor is listening. because sometimes people, you get on stage and they don't, they're doing their show and they're not really paying attention. So to me, when I do things like that, or when another actor does things like that, it makes me go, oh, hey, we're having this conversation. Yeah, I am listening to you, and you listening to me too, which brings the truth out of the words, which is what the audience, the experience the audience wants to have, is the truth of the words.
How have you seen yourself evolve as an actor? Or is there certain aspects that you would like to change to as far as improve your skills as an actor?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, man. I would love to study some Shakespeare. I would love to get a couple of dialects under my belt, you know, be really, really good at a good African dialect and a good English dialect, you know, so many things. And, you know, I'm pushing myself.
Pushing yourself. I find that interesting because I've had an opportunity on several occasions to see you perform on various theatrical plays. And to me, there's a completely different T.C. Carson, what I see doing a theatrical play, than what I see on TV. And it seems to me you get a great rush on having the audience in the palm of your hand. Man, I can't even express the kind. I wanted to find, because I know the listeners would like to know, what kind of feeling or adulation do you get when you know you have that kind of power just to have people like that? I mean, really just centered on every word that you say when you're on stage performing.
When you're on stage performing, you don't really think about it like that.
Okay.
Especially when you're doing theater. I mean, unless the audience is the fourth character, the fourth wall, you know, unless you break the fourth wall and the audience is part of the show, then the audience is an observer. So they don't really, you hear them, but you don't hear them. It makes sense because you have to hear them for timing, especially if there are funny moments in the show. You have to know when to start the next line as the laughter dies down. If you don't, they'll miss the next line. So you have to listen that way, when you're really in a theatrical piece, a drama piece, you're really on the stage and the audience kind of fades away.
That's interesting. I mean, because you sit back and you just kind of look, because you're in so much, you have so much self-control as far as what you're doing. And then when I've seen other people, it's like, are they really connecting to the audience and making them feel actually involved in what's taking place? As you said, dialogue is so important when you're doing theatrical plays or even when you're doing movies. For you, in a few instances, and I get a kick out of this, even on Living Single, man, there were certain episodes where I've seen that other side, that very serious side of you, and you had an opportunity to direct quite a few episodes. How do you feel about directing? Could you see yourself in the future doing more directorial roles instead of, you know, working behind the lens instead of actually working in front of the camera?
Well, I got to give you a little correction. No, I did not get a chance to direct on Living Single. I wanted to, but I didn't get a chance to do that.
I thought you did. I thought you got an idea. Really?
No, I did not. I have done some theatrical directing and some off-Broadway stuff, but not Living Single. And we're looking to possibly do some stuff on Last Call this year. We're waiting to see if that's going to happen. I think I would really enjoy directing. What I see in film and television, especially in sitcom world, is kind of a lack of direction for actors.
Okay.
It's the directors are really good at cameras, but nobody really directs us. And to have somebody that could come in to really could know that and to know the camera stuff, I think that's the piece right there that you would really need. You know, Roger Bob is good. He walks the line. You know, he walks the line. But that's kind of few and far between, you know?
Right.
We need more directors who are more actor-friendly. And can really get the best out of the people on the stage. That's the whole point. you know, all the camera work can be as beautiful as it wants to be, but if the work is not good, the work is not good.
Right. Now, if you could be two places at one time, how would you direct yourself?
Hawaii and Africa.
That makes two of us. Brother, I think if you did this, I don't think we would ever see you. We would never see you.
No, you would not.
It'd be a wrap. Man, that's what I'm working toward. That's what I'm working toward. And family, for those who are tuning in late, shame on you. But the Teddy Bear does forgive you. We are being joined by the incredibly talented Mr. T.C. Carson. And his TV show, of course, Last Call, can be seen on the Bounce Network. That's at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, of course, his new movie, Bricked, was actually released on January the 24th, where he plays Dr. Robert Weldon. Now, you know I'm going to bug you for that new album, man. I don't care what the name of the title is.
You will get a copy.
And, you know, I wanted to ask you, when you look back on Live in Beverly Hills, what is something that you took from, what was the most proudest moment as far as working on that particular album and also having an opportunity to perform it live?
It was an idea that I had that I wanted to do. And I was coming out of a really rough period. I had lost my mom, and I was just kind of, I needed something. And Live in Beverly Hills was the thing that I could hold on to kind of focus.
You know, what I find, it's interesting that you brought that as far as your mother. Because I know that you had a very close relationship with your mother.
Oh, yeah, that's my best girl. That's my best girl right there.
You know, and I lost my mother in 89. And even to this day, it's not a day that does not go by that she kind of whispers in my ear, don't do this. You know you need to do this. Even to this day, man, what kind of influence did and does your mother have on you as far as making the right decisions that are going to be beneficial to you as an actor?
She just taught me how to be a really good man. She taught me how to be respectful of everybody, and, you know, that everybody matters, and how to be a strong brother. She really did.
Well, that's definitely a beautiful experience. And family, remember to catch up with TC. You can always catch up with him on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/official TC Carson. Don't forget, family, once the Teddy Bear gets his hands on that new album, we will debut it here first, because we've been waiting a little bit too long. But like they say, great things come to those who wait. And I just wanted to tell you, man, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. I know you have a hectic schedule, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule and joining us and vibing with us here on The Zone again. And you know, this is your home away from home, whatever you need. Please do not hesitate to let us know. A lot of love to you and the utmost respect to you, my man.
Oh, brother, I so appreciate you. Thank you so much for wanting to have me on your program and for all the support. I really, really appreciate it, man. I'll take it for granted.
All right. God bless and stay strong, man. Oh, you know what? I forgot something because I know the listeners are going to get me. They're going to get me.
What's up?
You got a project that's coming up called Coffee Pot, man. I'm really intrigued about
Coffee Clutch.
Coffee Clutch. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, it's for you. Do you remember the show Different World?
Yes.
Different World. Remember Kim, the doctor, played by Charnell Brown?
Yes, I remember.
This is her project. This is one of her pet projects. And she's writing and directing it, and we're in development stages of that. Yeah.
Okay. I said, I got to ask. So when that's ready, man, please let us know. We'd love to have you back on the show to talk about it.
Absolutely. I think she's looking to film sometime this summer.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, brother, be safe. Be careful out there. Much continued success. And again, man, don't have me look for you when it comes to that new album, okay?
You don't worry about it, bro. I got you. I got you.
All right. God bless. The very talented.
Be well.
You just say the very talented Mr. T.C. Carson here in the zone of LOTO Radio. My goodness, it is definitely great to be back. Back home, H-Town, Lord have mercy, trying to get my thoughts and get my vibe back together. It's a beautiful thing. Speaking of a beautiful thing, got to take a little quick two and two, got to pay some bills. In the meantime, let's get lost and some Miles J with Next Time here in the zone of LOTO Radio.
Next time. just got a call from my ex. He said he changed, but I'm so not impressed.
So not impressed.
Don't love you more and I don't love you less. If I don't pick up, that don't mean you should text.
Don't be that guy.
I got another call from my ex. He said I'm lying if I don't miss him, yeah. I ain't got time to lie, I miss you less. Hearing you begged and this is what he said. It's what he said. He said I got the cold shoulder and west. He told me when it comes to leaving, you're the best. When it comes to leaving, you're the best. And if it was the best of nothing at all. Not everybody gets to say they met the cold shoulder and west. He said I got the cold shoulder and west. He told me when it comes to leaving, you're the best. When come to leave you to bed. And if it was a bad or nothing at all. Not everybody gets the same thing, man. The cold shoulder in the west. I just got a text from my ex. He said, I know you seen this.
I know you seen this.
See, I got respect for my ex. Won't let him see me, see him in his feelings.
Ain't that the best?
Another day, another text. I'm like, boy, ain't you tired yet? And before he gave up, this is what he said. He said, I got the cold shoulder in the west. He told me when it comes to leaving, you're the best. When it comes to leaving, you're the best. And if it was the best of nothing at all. Everybody gets to say they met the cold shoulder in the west. He said I got the cold shoulder in the west. He told me when it comes to leaving, you're the best. When it comes to leaving, you're the best. And if it was the best of nothing at all. Not everybody gets to say they met the cold shoulder in the west. He said I got the cold shoulder in the west. He told me when it comes to leaving, you're the best.
Golden shoulder in the west, here in the zone of LOTO Radio. And before that, my man, Miles J, next time. Yes, Lord. 5:35 p.m. Central Standard Time here in downtown Houston. Yeah, the teddy bear is back in Houston. Lord have mercy. It's great to be back home. Want to send out a very special thank you again to my man, T.C. Garson. Thank you so much for joining us. And remember, family, be sure to get out there and see his new movie, Brick, and also his new TV show, Last Call, on the Bounce Network, 9 a.m., 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also coming in March, around March, his new album, different title, but I guarantee when we find out, TC will hit it over to us and we'll play it here. We'll debut it here first. While the teddy bear gets in swing, back in the swing of things, won't you join us tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central, 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, as we welcome singer, songwriter, poet Ingrid Chavez, as we have the pleasure of celebrating her new single, All the Love in the World, from her upcoming album, Memories of Flying. So to get all the latest updates, hey, let your fingers do the walking. You can catch up with us on Instagram. That's at Instagram.com/ LOTO Radio, The Zone. Also on Twitter at LOTO Radio and Facebook. That's at Facebook.com/ LOTO Radio, The Zone. And just wanted to give you guys a heads up about the Valentine's Day. Yeah, extravaganza. Yes, Lord. We'll be here on Valentine's Day. Joining us, the one and only Eric Robertson, and also Glenn Lewis. We'll give you the rest of the information actually on tomorrow's night show. We've already given away quite a few tickets, and also the Teddy Bear has a very, very special announcement on Friday. Got to tune in. And for those who missed the interview, no need to fear. Teddy Bear has you covered. All you have to do is pull up your app on iTunes, Google Play Music Store, TuneIn, Podbean, and also on Spotify and iHeartRadio. Type in these words, LOTL, The Zone, and you can listen to the interview in its entirety. It's a beautiful thing. So it is written, so it shall be done. Well, that's all I need to do. Gotta go. He said, well, Teddy Bear, why are you leaving so soon? Gotta rest. His voice been doing too much. But I love you. Thank you for tuning in and tuning out all the negativity. Until tomorrow afternoon, stay strong. God bless. And thank you for tuning in. Donny Hathaway, love you more than you'll ever know. You're in the zone of the LOTL Radio.
Myself as well. Is that any way for a man to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? That I love you. My paycheck went. You know I brought it home to you, baby, and I never spent a red cent. Hey, is that any way for a man to carry on? Do you think I want my loved one gone? That I love you more than you'll ever know? Yeah. only flesh and blood. But I could be anything that you demand. I could be king of everything, or just a tiny grain of sand. Now tell me, is that any way for a man to carry on? Do you think that I want my loved one gone? I love you. More than you'll ever know. I'm